with the title of the message, Remembering the Pit from Whence We Were Dug. Remembering the Pit from Whence We Were Dug. We sang that song, He Brought Me Out, and we looked at that verse in Psalm 40. We're going to do that in just a minute. But there was, you know, Psalms are written for many reasons. Psalm 38 and Psalm 70 and others, they say Psalm 38 and 70, a psalm to bring to remembrance. Now, I'm not going to go to Psalm 38 and Psalm 70 this morning. We'll look at some other psalms. But they're written to bring to remembrance. We have Thanksgiving Day that comes every year at the end of, the last Thursday of November. And it's to bring to remembrance. We have Thanksgiving Day to be thankful to the Lord for the many blessings that we have. And so we all can forget, and this is why we have. That's why you come systematically, you come regularly to church, is because we forget and we fall aside and different things happen. And we want to refocus our minds on eternal life and eternal truths. And so I want to focus our minds today on this fact of where we have come and what we've been brought out of in the Lord. We sang just a few moments ago, count your blessings and name them one by one. When we begin to count our blessings, when we begin to look back, we focus our hearts anew on the fact that, you know, God has been active in our life. God has worked in my life. He has done great things, and I should be thankful just by counting our blessings. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I looked at this last week in our Sunday school lesson, but I want to go there again. It's such a powerful portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We don't believe in universalism here, that somehow God is so sentimental in His love that He'll just overlook everyone's faults. In the final analysis, He's such a loving God. Everybody will be brought into the kingdom of His Son just because He's so loving. That's known as universalism. No. Jesus, that would make Jesus dying on the cross in vain, of to no avail. But He died for a reason. That is that we might receive of His forgiveness of sin. If we have not received of His forgiveness of sin, we do not have eternal life within us, all right? Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived in this matter. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. I think I just stop here for just a second. I stopped last week on effeminate and abusers and explained that to you. Nor thieves. Thinking about people in our government. See, if I steal from Ed, you say, hey, you can't steal Ed's glasses there on the seat or Pete's, whatever. Warren, that's wrong. That's stealing. But we forget that the government uses theft all the time. And the Ten Commandments, which apply to you and I, thou shalt not steal, also applies to the civil magistrate. He shall not steal. And corporate theft, it applies to the corporations as well. Unfortunately, the 20th century church has taken, they've so personalized the Ten Commandments that they've taken it out of its full orb context. And that is, government shall not steal as well. And that's being done all the time. And I'm not going to go there. All right? I'll refrain myself. I had some other thoughts, and I'm going to keep on here. All right. But we're not to steal. Verse 10, nor thieves. We've got a lot of thieves in the House of Congress. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. People that have real issues with anger problems. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we run to the mercy of Jesus Christ. We find ourselves in these categories in various ways and in various capacities. We say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we find the mercy and grace, hallelujah, of Jesus Christ upon us. And we just give God thanks. Like Mom says, praise God. Verse 11, and such were some of you. Now I used this last week in our Sunday school lesson in reference to Frank. In reference to all of us, see, we were these things, but there's a change that has come into our lives. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. So Paul says, such were some of you, past tense, but you are washed. Thank God that we're washed if we've come to Jesus and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and applied His blood in our lives. But you're washed. You're sanctified. You're set apart now as a child of God. You're a son and daughter of Almighty God. You're justified. That in the Greek is, it's a judicial term, just as though you'd never sinned in your life. You're justified. You're made right. You're made holy. You're made pure before a holy God. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So I want you to think about the fact that we were these things. We were participating in many. Not maybe it doesn't mean we participated in every activity that's listed here, but we were sinners, and our nature was a sinner that was bound to sin, a slave to sin, as the Scripture calls it. But there came a change, and we need to remember the fact that this is what we were, but this is what we now are. The catalyst for my message today is Billy Joel's hit, The Piano Man. How many know The Piano Man? All right, there's about six or seven of you know The Piano Man. All right. It starts out, it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. The regular crowd shuffles in. There's an old man at the bar sitting next to me. Anybody want to try that next line? It's pretty rough. Making love to his tonic and gin. Making love to his tonic and gin. Now, this is what the catalyst for the message today. So many of those songs are profound. Many of the songs are profound in their truth, but they don't go far enough to lead a person into deliverance, to lead them out of this problem. So here's a guy, and Billy Joel, he's working the piano bar scene, and he sees this old man, and he's making love to his tonic and gin. He's losing himself. All his enjoyment is found in these two bottles, right, of tonic and gin. I was in the grocery line here just recently in the last few weeks. I saw someone who's an antagonist to the church at Kaweah. They make no bones about it. They're definitely an antagonist to us. And I saw in their shopping cart two items. You want to guess what they were? And my heart went out. See? We've seen the vitriol, the hatred, tried to destroy the church at Kaweah. But what do they have? Tonic and gin. What do you drink tonic and gin for? To lose yourself, because forget, right? So we forget sometimes, because we have struggles in our Christian life, and I get discouraged, and you get discouraged, and we have problems, and things, break down, and we don't have money to fix them, and there's health issues. Somebody here may have just heard this last week. They got a health issue in their life or whatever. And so we get discouraged. But we need to remember the pit from whence we're dug. We need to remember what it was like when maybe some of you, all you had for a real joy in life was a tonic and gin. Something to help you get through, Maybe all you had was Mother's Little Helper, some of you older folks back in the 60s or 70s, huh? Sometimes we get discouraged in our lives. This is common. But do you really want to go back to the days when you were a slave to sin? We need to remember that. Sure, we have a life sometimes that is fraught with problems. But we have the peace of the Holy Spirit. We should have the peace of the Holy Spirit in those problems. We should still have the joy that we know that God is in control. Let me just reflect back a little bit more remembrance. About 4 or 5 years ago, 3 years ago, I can't remember which, I gave an entire message from a little pamphlet that was produced by Michael Pearl. It's called Pornography, Road to Hell. And because pornography, especially internet pornography, is such an issue in this day and age, we need to hit it from time to time. And this guy, Michael Pearl, did such a fantastic job. I'm just going to touch just a little bit. We're talking about remembering. We're talking about bondage to sin. We're talking about slavery to sin, whatever it is. Whether it's a little idol about this long that you bow down to, I've got to have my smoke every 5 times a day or 20 times a day. You're in bondage to this. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. Whether it's a tonic and gin, whether it's heroin, or whether it's you've got to snort cocaine, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. These bondages, Jesus wants to break us free from these bondages. And what a horrible thing that sin takes people to. I was in Santa Monica this last week. And, of course, you see there in the city, I was walking over bodies of people lying on the sidewalk, right? You've seen that when you go to the city. Lying in the gutter, twisted minds, older men and women, their countenances grotesque with the ravages of sin in their life. And then you've got those that who on the surface look like they're doing well. They might have a suit and tie, but they can't wait to go to happy hour. Happy hour. I saw signs everywhere. Happy hour from 4 to 7. From 4 to 7. What is it? They want to get lost once again. They did their work. They don't want to go home. There's nothing for them at home. There's no peace at home. There's no joy at home. So let's go to happy hour and drink, get a buzz, because we cannot make it through the night unless we get this buzz. I talked to a man who was saved many years ago, or about 15 years, 20 years ago now. He couldn't wait to get home from work or get off work, because as soon as he got off work, he had to have 3 or 4 beers, whatever it was. He had to have this buzz in order to keep him going. This is a bondage. And sometimes we think we have problems, but we forget the pit from whence we were dug. All right. And in Pornography Road to Hell, by the way, you can get this on the internet. We sometimes carry it. I highly recommend it, because some of you have neighbors or friends struggling in this area, and it's a blight on the church. And he says, now I'm speaking to you fathers. If you isolate yourself in a room and indulge in pornography, you are not sick. You are evil. You are having intercourse with the computer or with the pages of a publication. In effect, you are having an erotic experience with the editor, probably another man. While you are fantasizing with that commercially produced image, know that there are thousands of others engaged in eroticism with the same image at the same time as you. You are part of a disgusting group of perverts, all piled onto the same image together. And somewhere there is a sexual dysfunctional editor enjoying the extent of his erotic powers. I'm just picking a few things here. Very few, now listen to this, very few ever return from the pit into which you are sinking. You have taken the downhill slide into hell, and there is absolutely nothing to stop you except your willingness to apply the brakes. The problem is that you are more addicted today than you were a year ago. We're talking about sin like strings around a man. If you took a piece of thread and you wrapped it around me and you held me up tight, it'd be a piece of cake. I just go like that and break that thread. Put 2 or 3 threads, 5 threads, I can still break it and be free. Put 20 threads, 30 threads, it's going to be a point where I cannot break free anymore on my own, and I need a power beyond myself. You have taken the downhill slide into hell. There is absolutely nothing to stop you except your willingness to apply the brakes. The problem is that you are more addicted today than you were 1 year ago, and you will continue to fade into the shadows of debauchery until you are one with the evil on which you feed. You are on the road of no return, and every day you are less likely to reverse your course. The lust you have created is never satisfied. Any sin, it's never satisfied. It's a promise. It's a carrot out there. And what is it? It's a person who, if we're using the illustration of pornography, one day they like Playboy, one day they find Penthouse exciting to them, but in a short time, those don't work, so they have to graduate to Hustler. And then they got to go somewhere else, and they got to go, and it gets more perverse and more perverse. They don't stop. See, it's that the sin that binds us that way. He says, "You have an itch with no scratch, only more itch. Pornographic satisfaction is like a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, always just out of reach. The lust of pornography draws a man ever deeper into the dark tunnel of promise until he discovers he has missed life and love. Pornography destroys your ability to make love and replaces it with the cunning to wit and to use and to abuse. There comes a point when any attempt at a normal relationship is nothing more than assisted masturbation. Your world grows ever smaller." Now listen to this. Your world grows, you've seen people like this, ever smaller until you are alone with your semen. You stink of self. You do not deserve a woman.
Government officials that are dealing with our national security.
Yeah, child pornography at the Pentagon. Everybody's the Pentagon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you saw that? Those guys didn't just start with child pornography, did they? They started with Playboy or Penthouse, and they worked themselves because it was that false, this is going to satisfy me. A little bit more will satisfy. And none of that ever satisfies until they become bound and they go to the point of the unthinkable with child pornography. Just another quote here. This is not a message on pornography, but you get the point. We can be bound to any of those things that we're bound to, those sins of the flesh. "I have done you a service by increasing your guilt. by bringing the law down on you like it will be in the day of judgment. Your conscience will not be satisfied by anything less than your exposure and punishment. The good news is that Jesus Christ, now this is for any sin, not just for the sin of pornography. The good news is that Jesus Christ took upon himself the shame of your sin. God laid on him your iniquity. God made Jesus to be sin in your place. He was treated as if he was the pornographer, the guilty sinner. He died the death you should die. Your sin has been paid for in the sufferings of Christ. If you repent toward God, God will forget your sin as if it had never happened. That's justification, made righteous before a holy God. He will put away your sin and remember it no more. He will remove the guilt and free you from sin's power. If you take years, it will take years for the temptations to go away. The devils will return every day and night to offer you the opportunity to rehearse the sin you have laid down. But God will deliver you from yielding to the pull of temptation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He is able to save to the uttermost, Scripture says, those that come unto Him by God. Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 19, he's lamenting on the sin of the nation. And not only do we have individual sins, but we can have national sins and familial, family sins. And there's different ways, and community sins as this whole thing plays out in life. He says about this, he says, I looked at my affliction, my misery, he called it the wormwood and the gall. A terrible time in his life. Where, and then the nation's life, the nation of Israel, when they were bound to sin and all that was left them was the judgment and wrath of a holy God. Now if you would, let's go to Psalm chapter 40. Now you see why we opened up our service today with Psalm chapter 40. I want you to see that one more time. Looking back, making applications, however the Holy Spirit makes application to your life, about being bound to sin and the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. Remembering. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. When we come to Jesus Christ in faith, believing in Him, He establishes us on Himself. He is the rock. He is the sure footing. As the song says, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. How many of you experience, see, we think as we get discouraged a little bit sometimes in our Christianity, but we forget how discouraging it is when we are servants and slaves to sin. And we have to bury our lives in some other form, some type of narcotic, just to get through the day, just to get through the week, just to get through the moment. Get a buzz going in our head just to get through the moment, because sin has so twisted our minds and the conviction of sin is so heavy upon us. And you know, it doesn't have to be the person that's just lying in the gutter, as I mentioned. It's all filthy and dirty, and I saw them this week. Be the person that's dressed nicely, that you don't see, but when they're home, they're miserable in their sin. They're bound. You know, I don't have an experience of going into a lot of bars, living a Christian life. But have you noticed something interesting? I'm talking about where sin takes people. Notice that you can go by some bars. They haven't had a coat of paint in 20, 30 years. They're dirty. They're dirty. The owner's just been making money and nothing goes back in. How would you like to go to Chili's or to the Olive Garden with a place looking that filthy? You'd never dream. You'd say, I ain't going to the Olive Garden. Look at this place. It's a pigsty. Yet aren't those places dark and dirty and unmopped floors? Filth. They just generate into such a filth that they don't even see that things are filthy and unkept. It's a bondage. It's a slavery. And we're talking about remembering that, thank God he's delivered us and we don't have to walk in that anymore. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting to you? So many of those places are just filthy. Paint peeling, all kinds of things, and the people, they'll flock there. We would never go to a burger stand that looked like that. Yeah.
That's why they keep the lights open in those bars, Pastor.
That's one of the reasons, huh? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? But we can so, you know, go down, but that stuff doesn't bother us because of our... There'll be a what?
A woman
looking out to the street. Isaiah chapter 12. Now that's kind of, we're dwelling on the past. Now what's happening in the present? Isaiah 12 verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast that though, even though you were angry with me, thine anger is turned away. And now you comfort me. We come to Jesus Christ, that anger of Almighty God, is the whole our holy God, is turned away. And now God gives us comfort, and he speaks comfortably to us. And as Isaiah says, God says, I know thee, I've called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. God says, I'll speak comfortably to my people. Governments give us a number, SS number, different kinds of numbers. God says, I know you by name. Forget this numbering thing. It's impersonal. God knows us personally. He loves us. That's why I said this morning we'll give an opportunity when we sing His name is wonderful to personally worship Jesus. To personal relationship with God. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Sure, you might have been depressed this week, or sure, you might have been depressed for the last couple weeks. But if you come back and you recognize that there's joy in salvation, and you look back at your former days and you say, you know, I don't want to go back there. There isn't joy. There's momentary glimpses of happiness or fun, but they're fleeting. They're only for the moment. I love sports, but sports is just so momentary. While you're watching the game or while you're playing the game, it's just so momentary. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day, in your joy, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, who has delivered thee from the... Oh, hallelujah. Power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Now William Shakespeare, think about as he was thinking about his youth and his days, former days, he referred to his youth, he says, as my salad days when I was green in judgment. Certainly, Shakespeare, as he was reflecting on that, he thought about the many mistakes of his past. We can think about the mistakes of our past, but they should only be for a moment in time to bring us back to the joy of a present tense walk that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the songs that Bob Seger is best known for is a song called Running Against the Wind. I like that song, but it's one of those that don't offer hope. I can only appreciate it from the Christian context, just like Roy Clark's Yesterday When I Was Young. How many? Oh, some of the older folks will remember that one. Yesterday When I Was Young. That famous baseball player, was it Mickey Mantle? I don't want to quote him out of context. Anyway, one of the most famous baseball players it could have been. Guy that spent his life in boozing and debauchery. I don't want to defame the name here. I just take it off the top of my head. But anyway, I believe it was him, but one of the most famous baseball players of all time. Died at an early age, drunk. He had, because he was so popular, he could have Roy Clark come and sing Yesterday When I Was Young. And the song just goes about, hey, I had all these things, and now the time has come for me to pay for yesterday when I was young. Songs with no hope. And I think about Bob Seger running against the wind. He talks about in his young days, he's running against the wind. But he says at the end, he says, I'm older now and still running against the wind. never getting victory, never finding real peace in his life. And what a tragedy. You see, those that are older, they should be more solidified in their life with Jesus Christ, still running against the wind, still making decisions which are destroying their life, making decisions which destroy their family and those around them. Still, they're older now. They should be wise. The white hair, the hoary head should bring wisdom and peace to the family, but they're still running against the wind. Oh, how tragic that is. How tragic that is. Two more verses and then we'll close. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Two more verses. I love to meditate on some of those songs because I can do so from a Christian context. I don't know what it would be like to just to think about those and have no hope. But when I think of these songs that are many, many are written about the no hope in life and the sorrow that life brings, but I can always bring them back to my relationship with Jesus Christ and what it means. I mean, I'll go on here. Let me just give you one more. Elton John, who I have no fan of, but he sang a song about Norma Jean. And you know it. It seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never knowing who to cling to when the rain set in. Her life was cut short in drugs and debauchery. She had everything in the peak of her life at one time. And he looks and he says, you were a hero to me, but look how you lived your life, cut off in such a way as the stink of sin and of self, infatuation. Caused it to be a tragedy. Rather, those that the Bible says, blessed are those that die in the Lord. If your life is cut off suddenly and you're in the Lord Jesus Christ and they have a service for you, a memorial service, it's one that brings hope to those around, because the Bible says we don't know what a day will bring forth. But those that know Jesus Christ, the testimony is their life touched others. Oh, here's a point that I wanted to get to. Praise the Lord. I didn't want to lose this point. Here's something very interesting I'm noticing in Three Rivers in the last few years. Been here many, many years, as you guys know. There's a trend that is being established when there's certain people, there's people that pass away in Three Rivers, and I've seen this is a new trend. They die, and there's no service for that person. No service at all. And I'm seeing this more and more. Why? A person dies and there's no memorial service for them? Because that person, and I know that several of those people that died, because those persons lived such a self-centered life. Yeah, they had a couple, fair-weather friends, people that knew them, and I even knew them, and you'd say hi to them. But the family, they so turned off their family, so turned off, they lived such a selfish life, nobody wants to have a memorial service. So they just simply say remembrances can be given to the Cancer Society or whatever. What a tragedy that is, that people would live such a selfish life. The Bible says that God, Jesus Christ, He said, I came not to be ministered to myself, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. God's called every one of us. You'll find your greatest joy and your greatest peace in serving others, just as Jesus served others. We find our peace. If you have unrest in your life and there's not a peace, serve. Find yourself your peace in serving others. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's just an interesting thing. I imagine that's pandemic. Three Rivers would just be a microcosm of other places where fewer and fewer memorial services are happening, remembering the good things because a person lived their life so selfishly. There's not much to say about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And we go through hard times. That's what I'm saying. In our hard times, we remember what it was like without Jesus Christ. That's what I'm causing you to remember today. Those afflictions that we're going through, it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I mean, we've got a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. There's an eternity, smoking or non-smoking, as one man said. It wasn't original with me. And so this in our life of Jesus Christ is we're working for positions. We're serving. We're living for the Lord because we will spend an eternity with Him in heaven. And there, as heaven is a city, and hell is as well, there are positions of authority and rulership within the kingdom of heaven, and positions of a higher position. It's a hierarchy, if you would. And so these things work for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. Now I want to go to just one more verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I wanted to go to a lot of these verses so that you could underline them in your Bibles if you didn't have them. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because you want to underline some of these and have them at your tip. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profits little." The Greek tense there, some of you might have that. It profits for a short time. You live 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, whatever. In light of eternity, it's a short time. Now, many of us here do exercise and we try to keep our bodies in shape. But we understand that that is for a temporary purpose. We train for temporary purposes, but there's an eternal life that we are working toward. So bodily exercise profits little for a little time, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Why? It has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. When we go back, we consider sin in our lives, we consider our former days. Paul says in one place, call to remembrance the former days. And so when we think about the former days, we think about the various bondages of sin that we were enslaved to. And we think about where we're at today and we see some of the problems that we have in this life. But when we put them in the context of eternity in our life with Jesus Christ, all of a sudden it makes full sense to us. Because we have the life which now is. And Jesus said to his followers, he said, those of you that have left houses and farms and land for my sake and for the gospel's sake, he said, because Peter says, Lord, we've left all to follow you. And Jesus says, all right, you've left to follow me. He says, you're going to receive more in this life, manifold, and in the life to come. So Paul picks up on that and he says, we have the blessings of this life, the life in which we're living right now, and of the life which is to come. We may have some struggles in our life, but think back, they're nothing like the struggles you had at one time in your life, right? You have the peace and the joy of the Lord to gird you and undergird you and to strengthen you. Father, I pray that you would take the message this morning, the remarks, Lord, that you would apply it to our hearts. Lord, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in your salvation. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory to us, Lord. We're thankful that you delivered us from the pit. We remember the pit from whence we're dug, and we cry out, Abba, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I ask that you bless this, your people, now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.